Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Confessions of a Spirit Messenger, mediumship and spirituality with a Boston attitude. Information presented here is inspired by spirit and brought to you by Spirit Messenger, Reverend Nicole D'Andrea. Thank you for joining us today, and we hope you'll enjoy the show. Hello, everyone. I am your host, Reverend D'Andrea, and I am here to guide you through the next hour. We're going to be talking about all kinds of different things, from dreams to how to know if your spirit people are around, how to make those connections so that you can have that spirituality be part of your life. And if you have any questions, I encourage you to post them in the chat room. There is a chat room open right now. If you're a member of Blog Talk Radio, you get to get in there with like a screen name and you can ask questions. If you're not, you'll show up in the chat room as a guest, but you won't be able to ask questions. So I always encourage people to create an account. It doesn't cost you anything. It's pretty quick and easy, and you don't really have to provide any personal information. It's just the privilege of being able to go on these different shows and chat in their rooms with all the other like-minded people. You can private message people, too. So I've personally found it's a nice way to meet people. Not everybody is into what I'm into, and it does take time sometimes to find your tribe. So I encourage that. So welcome, welcome. If you're a previous listener, thank you for coming back. It's been a really long time. I haven't really had the space set up to do a show. It probably sounds strange, but I'm a very, very, how can I put it? I have to be really comfortable in my environment in order, you know, to kind of relax. I'm one of those people that, you know, gets really uncomfortable in crowded places or doesn't really like to go to, you know, the movie theater if there's too many people in there. It's just the way that I am. And my room has been a mess. You know, the spare room that we have, because I had moved down to the Cape since February, excuse me, spare room has been a disaster. It basically looked like somebody just threw up a bunch of paperwork all over the place. So I finally was able to get everything organized, put, you know, in one place, and I can actually sit down and use my computer now, which is a huge deal, instead of just laying around, you know, on the couch, on the bed, you know, wherever I can find a spot, the kitchen table. It is much nicer to have a little space. I'm also very into conditioning space. If you've ever heard any of my other shows, you know that I used to be a massage therapist. And as a massage therapist, it was very, very important to me to make sure that my customers were very comfortable when they came to see me. And I used to condition the space. So every day when I went into my room, my massage room, excuse me, I have a frog in my throat. I used to first begin by blessing the room, asking that anything that was negative left behind by anyone who may have used it previously be, you know, taken away and transmuted into love and healing. I used to spray the archway with a little mister that I had that I used to put basically water that I had blessed in there. So it was holy water. And I would just basically go around the threshold and say, you know, only peace, love, healing, and happy spirits are allowed here. And every single day doing that and also doing Reiki in the room, because Reiki can be used on people, animals. It can also be used on locations and places. So my ritual had to do with infusing that room with Reiki, because massage for me was a healing practice. It wasn't something that I did, you know, for fun or on the side. It was my main job for a really long time. So every single day I would condition that space, and I worked in the same place for at least 4 years. And it's funny because the room that I had chosen in the building was the furthest away from whatever people most wanted, like the bathroom or, you know, where the towels and the sheets were. And it was also close to the front of the clinic that I worked in. So it was a little noisy at times. But when I wasn't there, people used to fight over that room. And it was hilarious. I knew why. I don't know that they did. They, you know, one of the girls that did, she used to tell me, it just feels really nice in there. And I thought, well, of course it does. Do you have any idea how much work I put into, infusing that room with love and healing, and patience, and just any kind of anything that I felt would help my clients that day, whatever I was inspired to talk to Spirit about, I would just kind of go with it. And yes, that was where all of the magic started for me. And I actually was opening up to Spirit and seeing things, people in the room, and little spirit healers that would come for the people that I was working on. So you know what? Conditioning the space does help with that. It's funny, but if you have a specific area of your home that you can just keep free of clutter, put something there that's meaningful to you, whether it's a shelf that has a lot of pictures of your loved ones on it with candles just to honor them, or if it's an area of your house that has nothing in it at all, it's the only empty space, and you can just put a pillow there so that you can have no distractions and no pictures or anything, that's something that helps you. Whatever helps you to focus and to feel calm and grounded is going to help you foster your relationship with Spirit. It's always there, but unless you kind of discipline yourself to not necessarily focus. I feel like focus is kind of almost like a too active of a word. If you just notice, because Spirit communication is very gentle. The spirit world does not come across shouting and commanding. It comes across as very loving and gently guiding. When I never get messages that say, this person should do this. If I do, I will know that it's something much less vibrationally desirable than what I want to be tapping into. So I sat here and I said, what can I talk about today? And I thought, I really need to make sure that people understand when you're first starting to open up to Spirit, you really do have to have patience with yourself. So I started to think about that. I grabbed all my cards, and my bird deck actually slipped out of my hands and fell on the ground. And when I picked up all the cards, the one on top was Heron, which is for patience. So I found that to be very, very appropriate. And this deck, I don't think many of these decks were made. It's called Bird Signs, and it's by Gigi Carbone, illustrated by Mary Ruzicka. I found this on the shelf of an independent small New Age store down in San Antonio, Texas, and I fell in love with it. And it doesn't just help you understand, what kind of guidance is coming through when you do a reading for yourself. It also helps you understand the birds. And so when people ask, what signs are there for me? Well, you may have signs all around you, but you're not quite sure what they are. And this kind of a deck will help you. So, for example, I actually did see a heron in real life not too long ago. And I was completely taken aback. I'd never seen a live heron. They're giants. I used to think, I saw big birds before, but this is a giant bird. So I'm just going to read a little from the book, because they have a really, really excellent way of breaking things down so that you understand what the bird's all about. So this says, the heron is an elegant bird with a long neck, a long bill, a long body, and long legs. This bird is seen worldwide except in Antarctica. Its colors range from gray-blue to blue-green to white, as suggested by its various names, such as green-backed heron, gray-blue heron, and tricolored heron. So that's just a little bit about the bird. And then it has bird wisdom. This is kind of more into what the bird's spiritual meaning is. Heron sits and waits patiently in water before moving towards its prey. Patience is a gift. Heron gives you the patience to think before you act, to reflect upon your life, your actions, or your words. However, once you commit to action, Heron suggests you act quickly and decisively for the most success. Patience is a trait that can bring you much joy if you allow time for those extra 5 minutes instead of getting upset at a delay. Take that time when you're waiting for something that you're anxious about to just kind of collect yourself and be grateful for the ability to slow down for a couple minutes. Heron brings the gift of focusing on one problem or one project at a time instead of trying to accomplish everything at once and then becoming frustrated because nothing gets done. Thank you. That's my life. Make a list and check off each task once you complete it. move with the deliberateness of Heron. So I personally think that out of all of my decks, this one has been the most helpful because I am very connected to nature and I'm very comfortable when I sit in an area that has pretty much the absence of humans, but, you know, actually just animals, plants, blah, blah, blah. Hold on a second. Well, somebody asked a question in the chat room, but then they left. So I don't know if you're still listening. You just got out of the chat room. She's saying, what dangers, if any, do you see when opening to the spiritual regions? I'm going to assume that she means just kind of opening up energetically to the spirit world. Well, let's see. How can I put this? I don't want to scare people into thinking that there's something for them to be afraid of, but they might come under attack. The best advice I can give you is to always approach the spirit world with reverence and respect, because there's power there, and it's not something to be made fun of or to have a joke about or, you know, to poke fun at in any way. It's not respectful. You shouldn't do it to a person. Why would you do it to a spirit person? It just doesn't, it's, I don't even know how to explain it. It saddens me when I see people doing that and thinking it's just fun. That's the kind of energy that is going to get you into trouble. You know, say, hey, I don't really believe in this. Nothing's going to happen. Let's do something. Let's make a pentagram and, you know, light candles and conjure something. Sweetheart, you will conjure something. Anytime you put your energy out there and you ask for something, something comes to you. That something may not be something you want. So think about it before you do something stupid. That's all I'm going to say. You know, if you're, you don't have to be a Christian, you know, to appreciate angels. Angels are sort of universal. I think they live outside of religion, even though they're mentioned in the Bible. But everyone does have angels, and everyone has spirit guides. These are special beings. They're not just the souls of people who have departed from here. They have a purpose that's not like the one that we have coming here to Earth. In my personal experience, there are certain beings that will step forward and make themselves known if you've cultivated your relationship with them. So in the beginning, you want to approach the spirit world with reverence and respect. So if you feel like you want to meditate and open up, I would suggest whatever background you're from, however you approach God, to approach the spirit world that way. You know, sit down and say a prayer. I'm about to open myself up. I ask for your loving protection, your strength, and, you know, your power to protect me as I venture off into this unknown place. And once you're kind of establishing yourself as someone who's not going out there looking for trouble, you'll start to feel the energy, you know, kind of opening up to you. And it's going to take time if you're not used to meditating. But you'll start to recognize that feeling. It's repetition is really the only way to learn anything. You know, I'm the first to admit I don't have a great memory. I don't even remember what I was doing 5 minutes ago sometimes. And, you know, some of that's because I don't sleep very well. But, you know, you can't know everything. And so what happens is you become much like an animal where your senses are sharp and they're delivering information to you. But the senses that you're using are senses beyond the physical. You know, so instead of hearing something, you psychically hear something, which for me sounds very much like when I'm reading a book and I'm hearing myself reading in my own head. Over time, as you start to kind of get more comfortable with going into meditation and possibly receiving messages, I mean, at the beginning, you're going to think it's a joke. Something will come through. And they'll do this. They'll try to test you to see if you're ready for this kind of thing. I'll tell you a story. I share all my stories. My spirit people and my guides and even God, I guess if you want to say it that way, have told me my purpose here is not to do for people in terms of, you know, necessarily doing readings for everyone, but to help them understand that they can do it as well for themselves. And I asked how, and they told me the best way is by example. So I get to tell my stories. So here's the story. So when I first started to get more comfortable with the fact that something was happening to me other than I was just imagining things and seeing things because I was crazy, my mentor at the time, her name's Jackie Waitkus. She's a well-respected, very loving, caring, knowledgeable person, but an excellent medium as well. And she told me, you know, you need to start doing meditation. And I thought, okay, well, I don't know what's going to happen, but probably nothing. She said, just give it a try. Just be patient. If something comes to you, have a notebook so you can write it down, because a lot of times what will happen is you'll kind of get lost in that moment, kind of like when you have a dream and you wake up from it, you don't really remember everything. So I said, okay. So I started to open up, and the first thing that came to me was this Native American spirit, and I thought, really, Nicole, your imagination is not even that good. Like, this is so cliche. And I got myself, like, thinking it wasn't happening. But I said, you know what's going to happen? Let me just go with it. Let's see what the message is. And I kept listening. And he started to tell me things about a life that I had lived before. And I said, okay, who was I? And I started to get some information about who I was and this other stuff. I eventually got to a point where I said, you know what, I want to ask a question and get a solid answer and see what comes. And so I said, okay, well, if you really are, you know, who you're telling me you are, the spirit being who's here on my journey with me, what tribe were you from? And almost audibly, I heard what sounded to me like Ewok. And I was like, all right, that's it. Drop my notebook, put everything away. And I was like, you know what? I have to go to work soon anyway. So whatever. Well, I got to work and nothing was going on. So I was like, well, you know what? Let me get on the computer, pop around, because now I'm curious. I'm curious about this man, because I did see his face, his features, and I got a feel for what he might look like if he was, you know, in the flesh. So I went on to Google Images, and I said, let me just check out some Google Images. I just put in Native American men, and I wanted to see, you know, if any of the faces or features looked similar. Came to a specific photo that when I looked at the name of it, I almost lost it, and it said Miwok Man. And I got goosebumps, and I know that I audibly gasped in the middle of work. I was like, oh my God, that's what it was. He pulled the only word out of my head that was close enough to sounding like what he was trying to communicate to me. And that was Ewok, and he was Miwok. As I started to look up the Miwok stuff, I found a lot of things that he said that I had written down checked out. They were coastal people. One of the things he told me is that I used to wear a shell around my neck that I found on the beach made of abalone, and it is one of the things that they used to use in the tribe. They were out by California. At another place, this meditation, I heard something to the effect, oh, I saw an angel, and it was sort of random. I was like, what is this? Why am I seeing an image of an angel? And when I started to look further into where they were, one of the places they were was called Angel Island. And I realized, like, all of these things were ways of training me to start to communicate with spirit, because it's not a normal conversation. You know, it's like a bunch of things that need to be threaded together, usually by the person I'm reading for, if not for myself. There are images, there are words, there's sounds, sometimes there's feelings and smells. And they tell you a story, but you have to use your conscious mind a little bit to get that story to kind of take shape. And that's how I started to do my mediumship. And it was incredible. I couldn't believe all the things that were happening. I mean, I called Jackie, I can't believe it. You know, this is what happened. And it was right. And she's like, well, I told you that you can do it. I don't know why you're surprised. And to this day, I swear to you, I'm still continually surprised by spirit and what they do. But I am one of those people who most of my life had extra things happening and just didn't know what to think about it. Just thought, I'm conjuring something in my head and making it scary, and it's not. You know, like the dark has nothing in it. You know, turn the light on. There's nothing there. So why are you making such a big deal about the dark being so scary? Well, because in the dark is where I could see the light that surrounds the beings that come to visit. That's why. I mean, we're all made out of light. At the end of the day, you know, we're all made of light. And in the dark is the easiest way to see the light. So when I was in the dark, the outlines of people would start to pop up. And I didn't know what was going on. I figured, oh, well, yeah, I'm just doing it again. I watched too many movies, or making up excuses for what I was seeing instead of relaxing. And I can tell you now, my body would tighten up. I mean, everything that kept me from embracing my gift was how I was tightening up. I was denying everything. And it took someone who's, you know, a gifted person to say to me, that's something that's been happening to you your whole life. Why do you think it's not real? And I didn't know what to say. So from there, I just kind of kept working with things. And as I said, I would always condition my space. Things seemed to come one way for a little while, almost like training. And then all of a sudden it would change and I would start to pick up information a different way. So this truly is something that you need to pay attention to, work on. And I personally am a solitary person. So being alone for me, first of all, when I'm alone, I know I'm never alone. So that's just a whole other story, I guess. But solitude for me was peaceful, and it was the only time that I really could tune into my spirit. It made me feel so connected. And during the times in my life where I had the most trouble, you know, where something happened, like the loss of a job or a relationship that ended, the death of someone, those were the times when I felt the worst. There were also the times when I wasn't connecting to spirit. I found that I'm most miserable when I deny myself that part of who I am. Because we're all human and we're all divine. You know, Jesus was not too far from what we all are. You know, he was divine and he was also human. This is the greatest example of what we are and what our potential is that I can think of. I grew up Catholic. I remember sitting in those pews and just listening to the priests talk about all these different, you know, things that Jesus did, the healings. You know, Jesus healed. Jesus drove demons out of people. You know, when you look at it from just that viewpoint, there are people doing that today. And, I mean, Jesus told us that we could do these things. His apostles probably didn't believe it at the time. But, you know, I had some trouble because of my Catholic upbringing trying to embrace this gift, thinking something was wrong with it. Because in the Catholic faith, only the priests are supposed to have this quote-unquote power to do anything. But I always knew that was wrong. Like, no, that's not, of course that's not true. So as time went on, I can remember being, you know, in church with my family and always approaching things with reverence and respect and always opening up to feel what was around me, because feeling was also a large part of my my gift. And I did. I felt that sense of wanting to be connected and wanting to be one with everything around you and wanting to be close to God. But that's mostly what I felt in those places, was the wanting. I didn't feel that sense of connection. The sense of connection that I treasure most is when I said, as I said, I'm alone and I'm in the middle of nowhere, the woods, you know, or it's snowing and it's very quiet because nobody's outside yet, just looking up at the trees. That's when I felt most connected, you know, because I do have a tendency to be able to pick up on other people's emotions and thoughts sometimes. And so that kind of clouds that connectedness. Their issues become my issues for the time that I'm connecting with them. But that feeling of oneness that everybody's looking for, it's attainable. And for me, I found that being in a building with people who told me that only they could talk to God and I needed to go through them did not work. And there was no logical reason for it. This was just part of my makeup since I was a young person. So if you are a religious person and you're listening, I'm not going to put down your religion by any means. Religion is something that gives you a sense of community. It holds people together in ways that other things just can't. And there's a collective support system there. You know, people who you know understand you, or at least understand things as you do. So no, absolutely not. I'm not going to put it down. However, I will invite you to open up to the idea that there might be something outside of that that's also valuable, comforting, and worthwhile for you to explore. As, like I said, because of my background and where I came from, I know what it's like to be part of something rigid and not feel comfortable going forward with even just reading about something different. You know, it's like, oh my God, it's blasphemous. Everything, have you subscribed to everything you've ever seen or everything you've ever read? When you were in school, for example, and you were learning about, who knows, Civil War, let's put that one out there. You know, did you subscribe to that whole thinking of, you know, we need to fight each other for X, you know, goal? You don't have to subscribe to everything that you read. Reading is only to educate yourself. Just because you read about something or you see something or even participate in something does not mean that everything about you gets washed away and that's all there is. I have, for example, I call myself she of all religions because I've been obsessed with religions and all of the different ways that people try to be close to God since I was really young. I can remember going to a temple when I was young. I've been to a spiritualist church. I've been to a Christian Science church. I've been to plenty of Catholic churches. Really, anytime I have an opportunity to watch other people worship and try to understand how they feel close to the Creator, I take it because that helps me understand how to relate to people. You know, we're underneath it all. We're all the same. And it's only these things that we put out there that separate us from each other. It's all sort of like perceptual. So chew on that one for a little while. My next adventure is going to be, I've already done that too. I went to a Quaker meeting house. It wasn't exactly for Quakers. It was more like we were allowed to use the meeting house for our meditation. But that is something that Quakers do. They meditate. They don't believe in one personification of God. They believe that God is in everyone. And so I started reading about them, and I thought, I'm going to go to one of their meetings. I'm going to go to a meeting house, and I'm going to check that out because I want desperately to understand. That's all I want. As you may also know, I am a minister for Our Lord and Lady of the Trinacrian Rose, and this is a church that is not necessarily based on hard, fast rules and religion and dogma. It's based on humanity. It is the very thing that we're here for, which is to help one another. And, you know, even in the Bible, as Jesus said, you know, when you do something for any of my brothers and sisters, my lesser brother and sisters, you do it for me. We're supposed to be here to help one another. Humanity is supposed to come together, not fight each other. You know, there are too many ways that I can think of in the world that people tear each other apart. You know, there's anything from kids going to school and getting bullied to the war overseas, the terrible ways that people treat each other. And to even sort of the mental cruelty that people inflict on each other when they exclude them from a group. There are just so many different ways that humans have found to create more barriers between them and other humans. Then at the end of the day, you know, when any of us, as we're all going to die someday, it's all going to happen. When any one of us finds ourselves in a life-threatening situation or, you know, really, really sick, and frightened is when all of us, all of a sudden, we either become religious or we either start believing in something or, you know, we realize what was important. You know, this resilience of being human sometimes overshadows the fact that we actually are quite delicate in ways as well. We're, you know, at the end of the day, we're all souls just trying to figure out what we're doing here. We all came here knowing what we were going to do. And then we got here, and some of us were like, oh, crap, what the hell did I sign up for? And why did I think that was a good idea? And others just, they don't even understand, remember their connection or anything at all. So I'm going to bring up something else that I find really fascinating. You know, in the last, I'm going to say roughly 5 to 10 years, all of a sudden, in addition to these ghost hunting shows, you've got all of these other shows that are mediumship oriented. You have Teresa Caputo, the Long Island medium. You now have this woman, I can't think of her name, she's Italian, who does a show called Angels Among Us. She gives angel readings. There was a show called Mary Knows Best, which was also about an Italian woman from Long Island who gave readings to people, who was, you know, gifted, had a radio show. And it's all of this stuff. Where is it coming from, and why is it becoming more popular? Because more people are open to the idea that they may not really know everything, and maybe someone else, you know, that's not quite as rigid, there's something to that. You know, you see somebody who's willing to reach out and kind of take that plunge and have some faith that maybe faith by itself is okay, and maybe that helps you see a little bit differently. Or, you know, wonder about something that maybe you didn't allow yourself to think about or wonder about before because you felt like it was wrong. And those kind of beliefs and stuff, that's what keeps you from finding out the truth. You know, I'm always about the truth. One of the other shows I want to call out is, I don't like the title, but it's called That Ghost in My Child. Also like the last maybe 5 to 7 years, I've seen a lot of different books about children who remember past lives. Well, yes, sometimes children tell stories, but sometimes the stories are impossible for children to have been, you know, picked up somewhere or been told by someone. You got to see this program. It's amazing. Children who remember being other people, or who at 3 years old will tell their family, you know, I used to have a different mom. Where would that come from? A person with a logical mind who came here as a blank slate would only know the collective of what they were taught up until that point. That's not something that they would come up with. And what scares me about that show is I can remember being little and think and telling people, when I used to be big, I used to do blah, blah, blah. I don't remember the details. I just remember the frustration at trying to tell people that I used to be big. I think one of the things had to do with coffee. You know, I used to drink coffee. Why can't I have coffee? You know, and they'd be like, you never drank coffee. And I'm like, no, when I used to be big, I used to drink coffee. And it's like, what? Where'd you get that from? We our souls are, you know, they're infinite. They go on forever. There is no end game. I get that from my angel people a lot, my spirit people a lot. There is no end game. So when you're thinking about this stuff, try to remember to let go of things that might keep you from even just exploring something that might be different. It might, you know, might enrich your life in a way that you have no idea, you know. I know I'm not the only one out there who's been dissatisfied with their religion. I will say this. I was always fascinated by the nuns that I went to school I didn't go to school with, but they taught us at school. I went to Catholic school. And, you know, it's the strangest thing. There was something about them. I enjoyed how they were able to be so, you know, they were strict, but I also felt like there was something very sure about them. They had committed their lives to something, and there was absolutely no doubt, no wavering. And they knew the rules, they enforced the rules. There was just something really fascinating to me about that. And I loved how they could be, really kind. You know, a lot of people think nuns are just mean. They weren't. They were people, and I saw them as people, which is why I had a different experience of who they were. And I'm sure lots of my classmates just thought they were a bunch of old bitches who didn't get any and they were angry. Maybe, but, you know, when Sister Mary Agnes, who I know has got to be gone by now because she was in her late 80s when I had her in school, when she was having trouble with her hip, I used to come to school in the morning and see her getting out of a car, you know, however she got to school, struggling to go up the stairs. And I used to just be getting there at the same time as her for some reason. Maybe there was a reason. I would go over and allow her to just hold on to me so that she could climb the stairs. She loved me for that. She was so appreciative. And that was something else I didn't see that much from regular people. I thought, wow, like she really does appreciate that. Like that was genuine when she said thank you, you know. And I just found something fascinating about them. And at some point I thought, maybe I'm supposed to be a nun because I would love to just be by myself in the quiet. Cause that was where I was always. I know I didn't play with the other kids when I was little. I wanted to be by myself in the corner, you know, writing in a notebook or watching the trees outside. I was just always a solitary kind of person. And I thought, maybe I should be a nun. Well, I'm a minister now, which isn't possible in the Catholic Church. But it's similar, you know, the other day, for some reason, I was inspired to wear black pants, a black top, and a black jacket, which I never wear all black. I mean, sometimes a top and bottom, maybe, but not the jacket in addition to that. And when I looked in the mirror, something just hit me, and I thought, oh, my God, this is the me that I thought I was going to be when I was younger. And here I am, dressed in black, wearing my silver, which silver is very powerful, protecting type of metal, and it also helps you connect. So I do. I wear a lot of silver, and I wear pieces that are protective and blessed, including the cross that I wear, which is representative of my church. It's an equilateral cross. It's the cross of justice, solid silver with Lori Bruno's initials on the back because she's the head of our church, and she preaches about humanity, you know? So I saw that in the mirror, and I thought, you know, I mindlessly got up and droned around and I put this on and I thought, this is not an accident. Things are starting to come together for me. You know, here I am, 39. I didn't know what I wanted to do when I grew up, but I kind of did. And at this point, it's really important to me to go out and start to really minister, not just have that title, but go out and show people what that means. So I'm working on finding a way to possibly maybe work with people that are at the hospital or maybe hospice in a pastoral care type of role, because one of the things that I've always known is that I have to help people who are about to cross over. And I never knew what that meant. I never understood it. But all of a sudden, it's starting to become clear to me. You know, when I first was asked by Lori Bruno if I wanted to be a minister, I thought that I was dreaming, because a year before that, in one of my meditations, I saw that you're going to be a minister. And I thought, how am I going to be a minister? See, this is the other thing, guys, I want you to pay attention to. Every time I get something that, you know, I think is crazy and it happens, it just reinforces exactly what I'm saying to you. They test you. You don't have to believe it right then and there or understand it, but take notice of it, because at some point you're going to get confirmation that will knock you on your butt and you will not be able to question anymore. It's truly amazing. I sat there across from Lori Bruno, and she didn't know me at that time. That was like maybe the second time I'd ever seen her. I was visiting in Salem, and she does have the certificate for the church sitting above where she does her readings. And she said, she just looked at me with this look, and she said, if you ever want to be a minister, you let me know. Out of nowhere, was no context for that. She just somehow picked up on it. And my eyes must have got like saucers, because I had no idea how that would ever happen. And I thought to myself, you know, where I come from, how I grew up, ministers are not women. And I don't belong to a church where ministers are allowed to be women, or women are allowed to be ministers. And here I was, without having even asked, being brought to this place where this happened. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that makes having your connection with spirit amazing. And it makes your life better. You know, it doesn't interfere with it. At first, when I started learning things, I thought, you know, I'm going to be a space cadet. I don't want to be one of these people who doesn't have any, you know, doesn't have my feet on the ground or know what's happening in reality. And I thought that's what's going to happen to me. But my pendulum has swung all the way in one direction and all the way in the other. I have been, you know, lost in the spirit stuff where I was meditating all the time, taking classes constantly, meeting people who did different kinds of things, healing work, mediumship work, people that were into different kinds of alternative religions. And then I went to the other end of the spectrum where I was completely disconnected and I was in my ego self to the point where I was miserable because I was convinced the world was a terrible place and I would never have a place in it. It's only when I walk that balance, it's only when I walk with one foot in each world that I truly feel peace inside. So it's definitely something that has changed my life. And I have a couple of callers. I'm not really planning on taking calls. I guess I could. Let me see. It's been a really long time since I've done this. This is not a show where I planned on doing readings, but I guess I will. I'll entertain this just because I have a feeling there's somebody that needs to talk to me here. So I'm going to pick up and say hello. Say hello back. Okay? Deal? Okay. Hello, are you there?
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, hi. Hi. I wasn't looking to get a reading. I was listening because I can't log into my computer. So.
Oh, okay.
But I could just comment and say that where you were is where I'm kind of at, where I'm trying to find that balance. It's just, you know, it's kind of hard because if you don't know your place, then how are you happy? You know what I mean? How can you even be happy if you feel like you don't
exactly
have a place?
What you mean. Yep. Yeah. Did you kind of grow up with like a rigid kind of religion where you didn't really feel like you were able to kind of let yourself explore spiritually?
No, not even. It was actually the opposite. There was not very much spirituality in my home. I kind of learned to have faith, and I developed my own relationship with my higher power on my own. But then the communities that I come from, the religion aspect of it is just taken to a whole nother level, a level that I'm not comfortable with and I don't relate to, and I don't necessarily feel like, I don't want to say it's not true. I don't feel like it has to be that extreme.
Mm.
I kind of have my own little belief system, I guess I could say.
And that's okay. You know, like, organized religion isn't for everyone. And even in the different alternative groups I've gone to, I found a lot of disappointment. You know, even when I learned how to do Reiki, I was excited because I wanted to try to find other people who did Reiki. And I found, like, a circle here or there. And when I went there, I found that these people did not have any understanding of what they were working with. Some of them were just, you know, boastful about it. Oh, look at this. I can do this. And there was a lot of egos between people. Like, look what I can do. It's better than what you do. And I thought, oh, my God, what is happening? This is not what I came here for. So, you know, it's sometimes hard to find your tribe, yeah. But sometimes you're not meant to have a tribe. You know, you might just be meant to kind of be a solitary practitioner of what you believe, and there's nothing less about that.
Yeah.
You know, so I would just continue working and on yourself and doing what it is that you do, and try really hard not to let people kind of make you feel like it's not the correct thing.
Yeah.
But I know what you're saying.
Yeah,
I know.
It's hard to talk to people about it, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, you get to talk to other people like you. It's hard to find that. So, you know, even here, I actually found somebody who has a little New Age shop here, and she said something along the lines of, you know, right now we're in an energy where people have to do their work in a solitary way. We can't working in groups and the group thing just doesn't seem to work right now for people. And this is someone that I don't know who comes from kind of a, even a different kind of background than I come from. And here she is, she's coming to the same conclusion. So I feel like if you're really plugged in, no matter who you are or where you're from, you will get that universal vibe that's out there.
Yeah.
So I will let you get back on hold and you can continue to listen. Thank you for listening. And I appreciate it. Come back and listen again.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Take care.
You too.
Okay. So let's see if anything's cooking in the chat room. Not very much. You guys are all quiet. Oh, because you're all guests. I told you to sign up for an account. If you sign up for an account, you can actually just ask me questions in there, and then I can kind of speak to that. And that works really well for me because then I'm able to kind of pace the show a little bit better. I want to share something with you guys, though, that a lot of people ask me about, and I probably have had plenty of experiences, but there's a couple that stand out. And that is dreams. People will ask, do my loved ones come to me in a dream? Or does this dream mean something? This is another thing that comes with practice. You have to reach out and say, angels or whoever it is that you speak with, please come to me in my dreams tonight and give me a message. And make it clear so that I understand and that I receive it, you know, in a way that I embrace it. And, you know, however, you have to set that intention. And it may not happen right away, but if you keep doing it every night, you'll get to that place where you'll all of a sudden have a dream that's different from the other dreams. And it'll have a different quality to it. And by quality, I mean you'll feel different in the dream. You'll have more of an awareness, or the people you talk to will be brighter in color, like there'll be a contrast. And you'll start to spend, okay, then you'll wake up and you'll think, what was that? Keep going with it. Then you'll have another one. And eventually with the repetition and the practice, you'll start to figure out which dreams are visits and which dreams are just, you know, your head working out all the weird stuff that happened that day. Oh, hi, Susie. How are you? It's been a long time since I've seen you. We're going to have to talk sometime. Maybe you can call into the show and we can have a chat when I have more time. There's only 12 minutes left. Susie has a show as well. She wants to post her link in the chat room. She actually does a lot of work with angels too. Anyone listening here might be interested in her show. So I encourage you to do that. Take a little, you know, walk around Blog Talk Radio and see the different people that are out there that are all pretty much saying the same thing in a different way, which we need. We don't all understand this the same way. So this dream thing, I have to tell you, sometimes things happen that you'll swear is a brain fart, and it is something. Sometime in July, I had this weird dream. I usually dream a lot closer to when I wake up. I don't know why. Morning is my dream time. And I had this dream that I was swimming, and as I was swimming, there was a seal there. And I was like, oh, my God, there's a seal in the water. And it happened fast, and I couldn't get my head around it. Like, what was this? So I woke up and I said to my boyfriend, I just had the weirdest dream that I was swimming and there was a seal swimming with me. And he was like, huh, that's weird. You know, he's one of those. He's a challenge in my life. He doesn't believe in anything that I believe in. He's not quite sure. So, you know, I told him, and that was kind of that. I let it go. Let me just pop in. So Susie has posted her link. If you're listening because you can't get online, it is blogtalkradio.com/insights and inspirations, all spelled out, all the words, all the letters are there. And feel free to kind of check her out, and maybe there's a message there for you that you've been waiting for. So here I am. I had this really weird dream. And a week, literally, it was only a week that went by, and I was at Bayview Beach on the Cape. I went there that day not intending to go there. I actually was intending to go to a different beach, but I had a bad experience there, which I'll tell you guys another time. It has to do with some random women who decided to work out, like, right where I was, like, so close, bending over that I could touch their butts. But needless to say, I thought, I'm going to go to the Bayside this time. So I'm swimming in the water, and I look over, and I saw a seal pop its head out of the water, and it was so close I could tell you the color and the pattern on the seal. I mean, we're talking like maybe 20, 30 feet tops away. And I was like, what? And I looked around and people were like, oh my God, it's a seal. And I was like, oh my God, it is a seal. It came out of the water and I was like, oh, I just had a dream about this last week. Oh my God. I had to call somebody and be like, hey, you guys. I called up my best friend. I was like, remember when I told you I had a dream about a seal and I was trying to figure out if the seal had meaning? Yeah, it did. I had a dream that I swam with a seal and I went to the beach today and I was swimming with a seal. And it was just so exciting to me. And those are the little confirmations that you get from spirit. It's like you don't think anything of it, but as long as you pay attention, you take some notice, you're going to see something that's going to materialize that you had no idea is even possible. You know, and let me just go to, is this my little studio link? Yes, okay, I have 8 minutes left. Woo-woo. So another dream that I had recently, and I'm going to share this because it's amazing. It is ridiculous. It's super personal. I don't care. I have nothing to hide when it comes to this stuff. Like, this comes from my heart, and I need people to understand that the experiences that they're having are real. And the only way I can do that is by being an example, you know, a living testament. My dad's side of the family is from Italy. They came over here when he was about 5 years old. And my grandfather, his name is Camilo, but everyone used to call him Charlie, probably because, you know, he didn't want people to butcher his name. used to call him Charlie. He was a sweet man, really good man, had a lot of issues physically, but you never knew. He never said a word about them. He would always ask you how you were. And, you know, my grandmother was the love of his life, is the love of his life. He has always done anything she's asked. I can only imagine what he's doing with his spirit self now that he's there for her, that maybe she doesn't even realize or recognize. You know, the last day that I saw him in the hospital, that he was conscious, when I walked into that intensive care unit, he looked at me and he said, oh, Nicole, how are you? That's what he said to me. This is a man who's in intensive care and, you know, has round the clock people, you know, watching him, and he wants to know how I am. And I went up to him and I said, no, put my hand on his arms. I said, no, I'm okay. How are you? And he said, oh, I'm okay. You know, so unselfish, such a beautiful soul, and always loved his family, always. And he passed away sometime in 2001, shortly after that incident that I told you about. I didn't really have much contact with him from the other side. He was always super quiet here and kind of a wallflower, so I really didn't think it was weird that he wasn't very active from a spiritual standpoint to try to get everyone's attention. He just was never that way. He wanted, you know, to know how you are. Well, recently I had this dream, and over time, he has come to me in dreams, and it took me a long time to realize this dream was not just a dream, it was a visit. It took a few rounds of noticing certain things, realizing that I knew he was dead in my dream, for example, thinking, how are you here? You're not alive. And he kept saying, I'm alive, I'm alive. Well, this past couple of weeks, I had this dream, and here was my grandfather, and I was in this space where I knew coming to see me, he was bright like he always was. Like, whenever I get a visit from him in a dream, he is so beautifully bright. His skin is gorgeous. And he was wearing this crazy looking white suit with a top hat. And I knew that he doesn't dress like that. I knew that that had to do with him trying to express that he was really happy and he wanted to celebrate. So he came over to me and I hugged him and he hugged me. And I felt that hug. I felt it like it was the most real thing ever. And after he hugged me, I said, oh, I said, that was a nano hug. And I really felt it with my soul. And after he moved away, you know, we stopped embracing, it was like I was getting a reading. It wasn't like a normal conversation. I saw, he kept showing me the suit. He kept drawing attention to his suit, and he showed me September. September is a big month, and that there was an anniversary. And then he kind of went away. Like, he came down the staircase, and then he went back. I woke up and I was like, wow, that's really weird. No, September 24th is my parents' wedding anniversary. It's also my nephew's birthday, who would be his great grandson. And I thought, I know those two things are coming up and they're big and they're September, but it didn't quite feel right to me. But anyway, I passed along the message to my parents. My dad, I said, no celebrating. He says, September's a big month. He's showing me anniversary. I said, so I guess we can say he's going to be at the parties that we're having. And, a few days after that, when I do that, it kind of goes away. It's like a reading. It's like a message. And then I don't hold on to it. So I talked to my mom, and my mom said, I called her and made a joke about her wedding anniversary. I said, hey, you're getting ready for, the 24th was the next day. And she said, oh, well, Nani came up here and told me that it is a very special day this year. And I thought, isn't it a special day every year? Anyway, I said, what? What is she talking about? And she said, this September 24th is going to be 60 years since they came over to this country from Italy. And as soon as she said that to me, my nano.
Okay, guys, I don't know what happened, but I got cut off, and when I tried to call back in, it said there was no answer, so I don't really know how my show could have no answer, but I'm calling from my cell phone, so that's all like crap, that's why. Anyway, so I'll finish up the story, because I only have a minute left. So this is the message that my grandfather was trying to come through with, is that he was really happy that this was in a celebration, his family had come together on this day. So I just want you to know that when you get these things, when you have these dreams, they are real, and you might not know what they mean right away, just like when you go to a reading and you don't know what the person's telling you right away. No, I don't recognize that. I don't understand that person, who that is. And sometimes it is not about knowing what it is right away and the immediate gratification. That's kind of something that our culture has to live with. But in any event, believe. You guys, believe, trust yourselves. Pay attention to your feelings. Pay attention to your dreams. The spirit world is so close, and it's right there. You can touch it. It's that close. So open yourselves up and walk in the light of spirit with one foot in each world. Thank you for joining me, and I hope that you can all join me again next week. I'm going to have another live show. So be there. Namaste.